know, I just fell down. I blacked out, fell down. And when I woke up, it's a pool of blood on the floor. Pretty sure my nose is broken, but.
All of that occurred away from the action, and Gene Katie just a little upset with what's happened so far.
Robinson around Ostertag.
Down again is Jawan Johnson, 3-for-3 from the field.
You're listening to the Purdue Basketball Beat, a part of the Boiled Sports Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to a special Thanksgiving day. Well, recording the day before.
Blackout Wednesday.
Purdue Basketball Beat.
That's right.
And it's been a very good week for Purdue basketball, I have to say. A lot to be thankful for if you're a Purdue fan. The first and foremost, tournament win, not the NCAA tournament or the Big Ten tournament, but the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic, which
the only tournament that matters.
Next one, yeah.
Exactly. I think it's one of the three best Hall of Fame tournament classics per year. It is definitely one of the three best Hall of Fame titles
right,
to get.
Give me the ranking, because I don't think you know three.
I don't, but I'm sure that there are, and I'm sure that ours are one of the three best.
Honestly, I think it was a weak field. I mean, Florida was the second best team, and they're young and talented.
Yeah.
It's still pretty young.
Yeah, solid programs, but not really good teams, necessarily.
Like three years ago, it would have looked a lot better than it turned out to be. But then again, 3 years ago, it didn't look like Purdue was that great of an ad. So Purdue winning it and Purdue coming ahead wasn't the plan when they made this field, but it turned out pretty good for us. Pretty good tune-up games.
So now we head into the next game on Saturday against Lehigh, and it gets a little bit easier before it gets a little bit harder with Pitt and New Mexico coming up. I mean, just general state of the program, how are you guys feeling about what you've seen out of this Purdue team so far?
In my opinion, I mean, it's hard to feel bad about it. I still feel like we haven't really been tested. We haven't been Florida didn't really trap that hard. Like I still think there's a lot of things that we could that could expose us, but I mean, the way I look at it is they've done everything that's been asked of them to, and we've seen a lot of diversity in the way that they get things done too. We're not just relying on a single, one or two players.
So how about? I think one of the things that's been most impressive to me so far has been the play of the point guards, which was the biggest question mark heading into the season, particularly PJ Thompson, who has yet to turn the ball over.
I was going to say, I was just about to look at the turnover numbers. I think PJ doesn't have a turnover yet.
Nope.
And Johnny Hill has seven.
Oh.
Yes.
It's not great, but that's still fine, right? Like, seven in about 100 minutes of play. That's okay. That's still getting used to it. I mean, in comparison, Biggie in 132 minutes has 20 turnovers. That's not great. Not fantastic. I wouldn't suggest putting Biggie as the point guard, as the starting point guard. What did you guys think about PJ against Florida? I mean, like, that was incredible.
If he can deliver a couple of those types of performances this season, it's going to be the difference between winning and losing. He's just a tough, scrappy kid, gets in there, hits his threes, goes after rebounds with a certain aggressiveness. I think there are some players who really set the tone when they're out on the court, and it really looks like he is one of those guys that the team sort of embodies what he puts out there. So
He's got really good chemistry with everybody too. I mean, and that kind of was fairly evident at the end of last year, was that he had really good chemistry with the wings particularly, and now the point guard hardly ever enters the ball. Right, the point guard hardly ever actually makes the entry pass. It's usually either one of the wings on a hockey assist, or it's that high low, that Biggie to Haas or Biggie to Hammond's high low pass. And so I think this year kind of puts PJ at the best spot for him. And that's he's really succeeded. And last game, against Florida, all of the wings that we had, except for Ray Davis, who had a great game after posting 0 points against Old Dominion, but none of the wings had a great game. I mean, like, both Matthias and Klein, as well as Kendall Stevens, they were all kind of cold, kind of lackluster, both offensively and defensively. None of them are great to begin with. The plays that kind of spurred Purdue were PJ's defensive plays, like that one when he took the 7-1 center of Florida, fought him to the ground for a jump ball. I mean, like, that's like. It's plays like that that when the offense isn't going, that's what'll get you, you know, that's what'll get you moving. That's what Octius did last year. We're missing another defender like that this year, and I don't think PJ can be that consistently, but it'd be nice from, you know, occasionally if that could happen.
Well, in my opinion, the most important element of how he's been playing or how is the fact that he's looks like he's a solid, okay, three-point shooter. Doesn't have to be great, but I mean, it's actually pretty important because Hill obviously is not even going to take it. He's not even trying, so I don't imagine we're going to get much out of him as three-pointers go. But at least with PJ, that's another person they have to account for, and that changes the dynamic. Because remember with Lewis Jackson, they let him shoot pretty much all day and. And that, you know, they can clog the middle, and it's like one less person they have to account for. And so that should open things up for the centers, for Hammonds and Haas.
So right now PJ is 5-for-14 from 3-point, like from beyond the arc, which not great, but not bad. I mean, like you can still feel good about him. About him shooting, and I feel good if he gets an open look, if he gets an open like top of the break look. Yeah, Hill is more of a penetrator. You would think that he's going to get better as the year goes on, but I think it's pretty even. Do you still think we have a point guard problem anymore? I don't know. Like, it's one game.
Purdue's strength is balanced just across the board. It's not reliant on one or two players to dominate. So even if there is a question mark at a specific position like point guard, I think overall it has less of an impact on whether Purdue is successful or not. Well, and Purdue's best player is going to come down on the blocks, who I think best player by a country mile has been Isaac Haas. What do you guys think?
So I put this, because I was bored the day before Thanksgiving, I put this to Twitter and got a ton of responses. And they were very, like, across the board. I mean, most of the initial votes actually came for Vince. They just said he's the most consistent.
They're just pandering.
I know, it could be just pandering. But, well, so most of the first votes came in for Vince, and then a lot of mix of AJ or Haas. And then with a few Ray Davis, a few Caleb Swanigan. But those three, Haas, Hammonds, and Vince, were the most repeated. I think it's fairly indisputable that Haas has put up the best numbers and been put up the best production, you know, in the beginning of the year. But I still think that even in the small minutes, I think he's only played like around 19, 18 minutes a game in three games. Yeah. I think AJ is still, when he's playing, he's still unbelievable. What did he have his first game in or second game in, maybe against Old Dominion? He had 19 points in 18 minutes. I mean, and he had what, four blocks to go along with it, six rebounds. Like, come on. When he is going, it's pretty awesome.
How funny is it though, shooting
77% from the field. I'm going to put this out there. I've been disappointed in Vince Edwards so far. Don't shoot me.
Why is that? I don't necessarily disagree, but why are you disappointed in him?
I don't think he's really done a whole lot. I mean, he's putting up decent numbers, you know. 11-5 is pretty good. His assists are really good. You know, he gives something really special from the forward position if he can really set the table for other people like that. But he hasn't been a dominant force in any of the five games that he's played in. He's logging a lot of minutes.
Do we want him to? I don't think he's the kind of person you want to force shots. And I get that he's capable of doing it, but I still think he is his value as a facilitator. I mean, he can. He doesn't need to be.
From a best player standpoint, right? If you're talking about who the best player on Purdue is, I would think that they would produce more than Vince has.
But we're kind of grading on a curve, right? Indisputably,
I'm just expressing.
But Haas has been the best player. And Haas has been the best player when I think all three of us and most Purdue fans thought Haas either wouldn't get an opportunity to play a lot and might actually take a step back after a really good freshman season. And I think Haas has been really surprising in that. He's been surprisingly the best player. That kind of leaves a more raw like feeling as to him being the best player, right? It's him being all of a sudden like this dependable presence. I don't think he can play more than 20 minutes a game. Like, I don't think he can be effective and play more than 20 minutes a game. And that might not be his fault. That might just be his frame. And right now he's just not able to do so. But I don't think he can give you more than 20, 22 minutes.
He's playing 19 minutes a game. 13.7 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, 77% from the field. Like, even if that's all, even if he can only get around 20 minutes a game, that's production that no one else on the team is giving. I think people sort of take it for granted that Hammonds, when he gets back in the swing of things, will just naturally slide back in as a starter. But I don't know how you can sub him.
See, and that's
Haas at this point.
That's what I was wondering. Is I wonder what would Painter's kind of, because he's a pretty, he likes to rely on principles, and I feel like there's got to be a reason for the transition. They're not just going to give it to Hammonds and Haas. What can you do?
I think it will. I don't know if Haas's production will be. We'll continue on the long stretch. Like, I don't know if it'll be. I mean, this is crazy. This is really. I mean, like, and you even look at his free throw percentage. It's somewhere around 71% on five and a half free throws a game.
No, but why not? I mean, I think people are assuming that eventually, you know, he'll regress at some point, and Hammonds will take over, and things will kind of go back to where they've been, but he is he's not getting lucky. You know, he's hitting that little over-the-shoulder hook shot. He's rebounding aggressively. He's playing really good defense.
I like having it there too. It's like psychologically, I think that it's a great, you know, having some hips that big starting the game. And then it's great, because then A.J. Hammonds comes off the bench, like, oh, no, they foul. You know, it's right. Like a foul thing, and it's like shooting themselves in the foot.
So where I disagree with you is defense. I think the block numbers are really inflated by the fact that he's a tree.
I'm surprised he had 2.5 a game.
His instincts, his, like, blocking instincts have gotten better, but his defensive instincts haven't, if that makes sense. He's a redwood tree, which is how he's getting these blocks at the rim. And his timing has actually really improved. And he credited AJ over the summer for really helping him out with that. But the defense still looks terrible with him on the floor. Like, nobody is afraid of attacking him. None of the perimeter players can stop anybody else except for Ray Davis, and even him, he requires, the reason that he was Defensive Player of the Year was because AJ was behind him and could make that from the free throw line to the basket trailing of a player. Haas can't do that. Haas can stay at the basket and be tall. I think our defense looks really bad.
I think our perimeter defense looks awful. Like,
well,
maybe
it's because you don't have that anchor.
No. It's because we don't have the because Stevens, Matthias, those guys, they can't play perimeter defense.
Edwards is
having to guard threes and he's doing an okay job if they try to post him up, but he's having a hard time keeping up with folks on the perimeter. I wouldn't lay that on Haas's feet. I think that's our guards and forwards that are really causing that. Swanigan is another guy who's struggling when
Biggie's really struggling.
And he's not very good at closing out either. So, and that's man, for help when he's when there's a mismatch, he gets smoked.
Yeah, so, it's rough.
It's strange to me to blame Haas for that because I think the guards and forwards that are dropping the ball.
I don't think it's blaming Haas. I think it's just that difference between one of the five best defensive players in the country and AJ Hammonds. I think it's pretty, you don't think so? You're shaking your head, Mike. You don't think so?
Top five.
I don't think it's that much of a stretch.
It's awfully high. Top five. Top 15.
I think so. In the preseason poll, what was Jay Billis did a
thing. Yeah, he called them out specifically. He called them both Ray D and
Hammonds. He had Davis at one and Hammonds maybe at six,
something like that.
And I mean, AJ's defense is on a different level than most players at the D1 level. I think that. Haas isn't quite there, and because none of the perimeter, I think I agree with you, because none of the perimeter defenders are that great this year, except for Davis, it puts a lot of the onus on Haas, and he's not there yet. Our defense just looks better. Our defense is much more stout with AJ Hammonds on the floor. The other thing is, Hammonds is playing, there's a balance there, right? Hammonds is playing bench units, but he's also playing the closing minutes. Haas is never getting those closing minutes. See, that's the other thing, is that Painter is starting Haas out of principle, but every game Hammonds is finishing, right? That's because AJ's the better player. So I think eventually it will start to revert, but it might take a couple slow games from Haas to make that happen, and I don't know, I think it will happen, but I don't know if it will. Haas looks really good. Offensively, he looks really good.
AJ is the more talented player. I don't think there's any doubt there, but I mean, I think Haas has done more than anyone could have reasonably expected him to do, to the point where it's a really tough choice. Which player do you start? And Painter always talks about it's not about who starts but who finishes, but there is a little bit about who starts. Biggie, we mentioned him a little bit, struggling on defense, struggling with turnovers. Having said that, he's still, 10-9 is his average, something like that.
Yeah, he's really good at basketball, man.
Offensive on the Anish poses the question: who would be better on the offensive glass, Biggie or a grizzly bear? Did you pose that one on Twitter?
I haven't yet.
New basketball beat.
I haven't yet. I'll get it to the Twitter box soon.
He knows where to go. It's so impressive, his sense of timing and space. Now he uses his body to create space around him for the rebounds. Even if he doesn't get it, he either allows another Boilermaker to get it, or
even if it's really his teammate
to work for it. Yeah.
They're all fighting for the ball.
I don't know if there's another team in the country that can out-rebound Purdue. There might be bigs, there might be front courts that could be better, like, we talked about Gonzaga, but rebounding, this team should be the the best, like at least, I can't think of a front court that can out rebound this one. Between Haas's improvements on the both offensive and defensive glass, AJ getting minutes and still and looking actually a lot more aggressive when he's going for the rebounds. An aggressiveness that
His timing for the rebounds is almost like he makes it look so easy, but you kind of, after seeing Haas play, you realize how good he is, and he's decisive, and everything's come so natural for Hammonds now.
AJ's so damn talented, and that's where a lot of the frustration comes in for him not putting it together. I know, exactly. Well, so he display on rebounding the ball, he displays a kind of aggression that I wish he had offensively sometimes, or at least offensively a little more consistently. But Biggie, man, for being a freshman, like, you're not supposed to rebound like that as a freshman without being an athletic freak, which I think it's pretty safe to say he's not really an athletic freak. He's pretty incredible. And all of his points are coming from jump shots. Like, his points are coming from a few putbacks, but a lot of them are coming from jump shots. And apparently, according to the national reporters who have followed followed Caleb Swanigan, they said that that's not one of his skills. But he can shoot, and he shoots threes pretty comfortably in the flow of the offense. Now, I don't know if he shoots them really well. I'm looking right now. He's like 33% from the field or from three-point range, which is passable. But, I mean, there was that one stretch against Florida where he was crashing the offensive glass and single-handedly getting every single one of Florida's bigs into foul trouble. That's not the first time. That's not the only time we're going to see something like that. Something like that happen with Biggie. He's just so good.
He's a bull in the china shop. It's like no matter what he does, he affects the game.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. He does, and I think a lot of the struggles that he's been having are fixable problems. Like, you can think of players who have physical limitations or, you know, they're just not mobile or strong or any of that sort of stuff that they have to work around. But a lot of his stuff is slowing down a little bit, taking better care of the ball, figuring out, like, developing chemistry. Like, he's developed a decent amount of chemistry with Haas and a little bit with Hammonds, but that's going to, as that improves, his turnover numbers are going to improve as well.
That high-low combination between him and Haas is just so fun. I mean, like, he's got that pass from the high post right into the pocket of Haas. He's just got that down perfectly, and it's so fun to watch those two play.
So with Purdue going 5-0 and beating a name school in Florida, I mean, they're not Kentucky, but they're still, people just sort of assume that they're decent at basketball. Purdue has gone from being a borderline top 25 team to a borderline top 15 team. Is this good? Does that make you excited, or does that make you a little bit nervous? Are you waiting for the other shoe to drop? Or do you think it's only going to get better from here?
I don't know. I'm kind of nervous because I don't know how this team will handle expectations. Like, I don't know how the personalities outside Davis will handle these kind of expectations. I trust Biggie, oddly enough, just because he seems to have that poise, like nothing rattles him. But he's a freshman. He had a couple bad games. The Old Dominion game was actually a pretty bad game for him. He's going to have those inconsistent games, and Davis isn't our best player, isn't the most talented player. So, it's going to need to come from either Hammonds or Haas and Vince. I mean, like, those guys are going to have to show up every single day against some of these teams who, you know, they're going to see that number right next to Purdue. And either whether they're going to Mackey Arena or whether Purdue's coming in town, they're going to see that number, get a little more hyped. Say, hey, it's our chance to beat a top 15 team. And that's nervous, but it's fun. It's fun to be in that position again. I forgot what it felt like.
What game makes you the most nervous? Is it still Vandy?
Yeah, it's Vandy for me. I mean, we talked a little off air. Vandy looks they lost an or they won a very close overtime game, which kind of exposed some of their worst weaknesses. But I think Vandy and Purdue were two of the more undervalued teams that had size and shooting. And yeah, I'm still the Vandy matches up really well with Purdue. I think Butler matches up less well. They're still talented and they can still score, but Butler matches up less well. I think Vandy matches up perfectly.
Vandy's a home game, which is helpful, and Butler is listed as a home game, but it's downtown, so be a bunch of IU fans for the CrossFit Classic.
They don't have much of a team to cheer for.
Rough go of it lately for Tom Crean and the boys.
We take no pleasure in this at the Purdue Basketball League.
Oh, yes. We're focused on our team.
But, well, actually, it kind of hurts us because if they're going to be bad, it sucks that we only play them once.
I can't believe
it. It almost softens up our schedule a little bit. And it softens up the Big Ten.
I think that they're going to lose some stupid games like they've already done, but they're going to win some too. I think they're a really talented team.
And when their offense is clicking, it's really fun to watch, but and they're talented. They're undeniably talented. But for some reason, that consistency isn't there from game to game, and it's like almost like they're at a schematic disadvantage, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do. We all understand. So Michigan, so who's the best? Let's give your top five in the Big Ten. Right as of the first five games.
So somebody
can argue with Michigan State being number one.
Somebody said that outside of Michigan State, they don't see a team better than Purdue. I still think Maryland. Is pretty. Michigan State, Maryland, and Purdue are the top tier of the Big Ten right now.
Would you put Purdue in the same level as Maryland and Michigan State?
Yes. Yes.
Really.
I wouldn't put Michigan State and Maryland at the same level at this point. Maryland, I still think, is a little. I haven't seen them look very polished yet, and I think they will be good, especially when Stone kind of adjusts. But I don't know. I'm not convinced.
They've won some close ones. I mean, that's been their thing, right? Like they haven't blown people out like you'd expect. Like
a young team winning close games. A young, talented team winning close games is dangerous because as they improve, they'll start blowing teams out.
See, I would rank Purdue just a smidge behind Maryland and Michigan State. I think those two teams can win a national championship. I don't know if Purdue can.
How is Michigan State this good?
Valentine has been out of his friggin' mind.
I really don't understand it.
Because they're good every year. They're good every year. Tom Izzo produces consistently really good teams.
Is it weird to say that I don't think that team is that talented? And they're still incredible. I mean, they're so good.
Really? You don't think they're that talented?
That talented meaning a national title favorite? Like, no, I don't. Like a top 15 team? Sure. But he has them playing like maybe only Kansas with Cheick Diallo can beat him.
I think they have three pros on their team at least. And I think that's what you need to win a national championship.
None of them are blue chippers, I don't think.
Deontay Davis. He's a blue chipper.
He's a blue chipper that isn't playing. He's like Thomas Bryant. There's no denying the talent, but he's an inconsistent freshman. Thomas Bryant is damn good, but he's not there yet. He'll get there. And I think of the athletic power forwards that IU has had recently, I think Thomas Bryant's going to be their best one. But similar to that, I don't think Davis quite has it yet. Valentine has been playing out of his mind.
But I think Davis's stats compare very favorably to Swanigan's. 10 points, 7 rebounds, 3.5 blocks a game. Far fewer turnovers.
I would probably put them at a similar tier. And I don't think Biggie can carry a team, and that's why he's so perfect at Purdue. He's not asked to. He's asked to be a top tier role player. Anyway, I don't know how Michigan State's that good, but I would put Purdue right there. I would put Purdue right there with Michigan State and Maryland, probably right behind those guys, but right there. Like, that's a tier. That's the top tier of the Big Ten.
So do you agree, Andy, or do you disagree? Do you agree and are wrong, or do you disagree and...
Wait, can you write that out? I hate these conversations because you're splitting hairs. No, but I'm just saying, like, you know, they could lose one game and you know, it'll affect their rankings and everyone's going to go into hysteria. And at this point, I'm happy where we are right now. You know, we're recognized as a good team. We're going to go down. We'll probably go up. I don't look forward to like the emotional roller coaster of this bullshit. Sorry, but you know what it comes with it, and you know the over analytics of every stupid play. I don't know. Sorry, I'm being negative. It's late.
Jeez, you negative Nancy.
I mean, I think I would prefer that Purdue win every game by 20, but I do sort of wait for the. Against Florida, I was waiting for something terrible to happen.
I think that was the most impressive thing I've seen Purdue do in 4 years. Mm. Was go have a one possession game, have a big lead, whittle down to a one possession game, and then just put them in a chokehold and take the game away.
Yeah,
like just almost flip the switch, and. And that was, I kind of disparaged him earlier, but that was Kendall Stevens, that was PJ Thompson, who we talked about, that was Ray Davis, and that was AJ Hammonds, and...
Dakota, man, you missed that, Dakota.
Oh, Dakota hit that backbreaker, too.
Basically, started the run.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, like, they didn't wilt. They were like, okay, it's time to play. Let's just put this out of contention. They played good defense during that stretch too. That was some of the best defense they played all season. And I don't know. I was really impressed with that little stretch and just putting them away. Putting a decent team away. I don't think they're a great team by any stretch, but I do think that they're a tournament team that Purdue just kind of, you know, pushed to the corner and said, "Okay, it's time for the grown-ups."
The nice thing about the Florida win is that they're going to be a much better team in February and March than they are right now. Florida is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because they've got hella talent but little experience, and they're relying on a lot of young players to do stuff.
A new coach in Mike White.
And a new coach, and they'll probably have it figured out by, you know, February, and that's just when Purdue is going to need every little RPI bump that they can. So,
we could be Florida fans now.
So we can.
That's right. Fans. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it reminds me a lot of Tennessee when it was in 2011 when we beat Tennessee, and then they went on a huge run after that.
That was a crazy game. That was intense. Well, I believe that was Kelsey Barlow's one of his finer moments.
Yes, you're right. That was one of his finest moments.
Probably that and the missed dunk against Indiana State.
The Jared Solinger dunk will always live on.
That one was pretty nice too. Well, so we'll wrap up the Purdue basketball beat with a very important and timely discussion: Thanksgiving food power rankings. Okay. Stuffing is at the bottom. I don't know how long of a list this is, but stuffing is the worst food ever invented. I hate it.
Why? Why are you?
It's so bad.
Why?
It's awful. It's just like you've made all the rest of the food, and whatever is like left, you soak it in water, and then you serve it as stuffing. That, to me, is what stuffing is. It's awful. Tell me I'm wrong.
I can't believe you're a human being right now.
You know what? While we're being un-American, I'm going to take it one step further. I don't like turkey. I do not like turkey. It's dry. No one orders at a restaurant. Have you guys ever ordered turkey at a restaurant? No. You haven't. You know why? Because it's not that good.
Andy, cover hot takes.
I have much less wrong with the anti-turkey stance than I do with the anti-stuffing stance. Oh, you have no idea
what you're like talking about. Stuffing. It's
delicious. It's everything delicious. It's that's like beige.
It's like wet bread. It's terrible.
Well, there's a lot of variation between who's making it too.
Yeah, exactly. Who's making your wet stuffing? Get out of here with that wet stuffing.
31 years old. I've had stuffing every which way. It's all terrible.
No, you have no idea what you're talking about. No, stuffing is maybe, number one.
Maybe next year I'm going to drop by your family's place.
Yes, come on.
Giving, and you can show me what I'm missing.
I'd like to make a special shout out to little crunchy things on top of the green bean casserole. Love those. I wish it would just be a whole dish of mushroom soup and those crunchy things.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm good with that.
So so stuffing's your favorite? Man. Ugh.
Stuffing is number one. Yeah.
And then the crunchy
pecan pie is fairly high.
What is it? Pecan pie?
Yeah, I love pecan
pie. Dessert should be sweet, man. Apple, blueberry, huckleberry, something like that.
What is huckleberry pie? I'm not really sure what huckleberry pie is.
Did you just make up a pie?
Yeah. Do you not know what a huckleberry is?
Yeah, you don't know what huckleberry pie is either.
This sounds like a...
No, I don't know what huckleberry
is. They're basically blueberries. I can't believe you haven't heard of huckleberries before. They're basically blueberries, except they're grown in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, here it goes.
I think Google Hangouts just, like, everybody was yelling about pie, and Google Hangouts was like, what is happening right now? There's too much pie discussion.
So is cranberries on anyone's list? I mean, I'm a cranberry fan, but...
I pass.
It's a hard pass.
I'll respectfully pass on the cranberry sauce. Yeah.
You know, the most important element of Thanksgiving is the gravy, because it's the only thing, the only chance you have to covering up the dry ass turkey.
So I'll say that I believe I sort of agree with Andy here. I think that Thanksgiving food is pretty overrated. I have to say, like by and large,
Turkey is overrated, and also like, get that white meat turkey out of here. It's the dark meat turkey. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's about just overindulgence is really what this is about.
Yeah, but you're overindulging in stuff that's not that great, right?
Yeah, but that's fine. That's the whole point.
My favorite.
It's like, I know this isn't great.
My favorite part of Thanksgiving is the alcohol. I'm waking up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning to start cooking, and I will be drinking at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Do you have a Thanksgiving drink of choice?
No. So I have three things that I usually drink on Thanksgiving. In the morning, I'll have some hard cider.
Yes.
With the meal, I'll have some red table wine, nothing crazy. And then I'll finish off the day with some bourbon or scotch, depending on what I've got.
This is a classy day. I buy three cases of Rolling Rock. So I have never had Rolling Rock on not Thanksgiving. Rolling Rock is special.
Tell you something about Rolling Rock?
It's terrible. It's perfectly terrible. And just
hipster Thanksgiving guy. You like admit that all this stuff sucks, but you indulge in it anyway.
Is that what hipsters do?
I got three kids. I don't know what's going on these days.
Oh, man.
You live out in Portland. You're full of hipsters.
I do not live out in Portland.
I don't know. That's all one place.
Yeah, San Francisco, pretty much San Francisco to Canada, you're all the same to me.
We're pretty much the same. I do type out my boiled sports posts on a typewriter, which is why
you no doubt Boiler Down does that. Let's be real here.
Yeah, you also see Down emails because they're just fantastic. The font, it's like 24-point font. Like,
it's perfect. It's amazing. It's old people font. You're all old people font.
You can practically have a happy Thanksgiving at the screen. Down, I know you're not going to listen to this.
Well, I hope everybody, at this point, nobody's going to listen to this on Thanksgiving, so I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving and indulged a lot and watched a lot of football, mediocre football, because football has been mediocre this year, let's be serious. And watch the Lehigh game and skip the IU game. Yeah, just skip the IU game. Yeah, nobody,
you don't need to watch it. You don't need that negativity in your life, you know?
That's right. Right, it's going to be a good weekend. So
or
let's
maybe
just...
you should tune into the IU game to see Sindelir play, because apparently that's a thing. That
No. I like the
that's
actions.
That's a fireable offense, right?
There are people conspiring to kidnap him so that we don't burn his venture. And they say that we don't have fans.
The kernel of corn on top of this crap sandwich, set crap Sunday of a season.
Oh, that's like the final.
His red shirt.
Oh, the final FU.
I know, right? It like changes my entire perception of Coach Angel.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. If he does that, I hope he's done right at the end of the season. But anyway, no more negativity.
No more negativity. We're putting positive things. Our team, our basketball team's ranked 16th, and you can't take that away from us. I wish you'd pick football.
We're going to beat Lehigh. We're going to be fine. Yeah, please.
Because
nice.
We're good enough. We're smart enough.
God damn it, people like us. All right.
So we'll end on that now.
We'll end on that.
That's right.